Radio Daily. For Weekend Eve. Look, it's that time already. Oh, and hey. Is this our, first complete full 24 hours of spring? I get so confused as to when it actually happens. That damn hedgehog messes things up for me, man.
Groundhog, not hedgehog.
No, the hedgehog does because he pretends to be a groundhog and then tricks me and keeps trying to get tree fitty. It's just weird, man.
If the hedgehog sees his shadow, that means you're watching a very different movie.
I'm not going to tell you what I use a hedgehog for a nickname for. We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, it's Facebook and Twitter and various places like that. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man who's always excited to start. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
We've come here on stage tonight to do a show for you.
Yeah, we have. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Wow, aren't you just a little ray of sunshine?
I try. What happened this fine day, sir?
In 1684, Giovanni Domenico Cassini discovers Tethys and Dione, two moons of Saturn with a refractor telescope.
They have a telescope on the moons of Saturn? 1859, The first zoological society is incorporated in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Following the disruption of the Civil War, the society will establish the country's first zoo. How those two things relate? You make your own joke.
1942, Arthur C. Wall and Glenn Seaborg submit a secret report suggesting the name plutonium for artificial element 94, since it follows uranium, element 92, and neptunium, element 93. The paper will remain secret until 1948, following World War II, when it will be published in the Journal of the American Chemical Society.
1952, Alan Freed presents the Moondog Coronation Ball, the first rock and roll concert in Cleveland, Ohio. That's why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there. It makes sense.
Also explains why Cleveland rocks.
See?
In 1962, a bear becomes the first creature to be ejected from a vehicle at supersonic speeds.
Who's driving? Oh my God, bear is driving. How can that be?
That's what you get for stealing my picnic basket, you jerk.
1965, NASA launches the Ranger 9 lunar lander on a mission to photograph the surface of the moon. It will return 5,814 pictures, you know, almost half as much as you do going to Chili's, before impacting the lunar surface.
They, of course, will get the pictures back in 1972, because it takes a while to develop all of those pictures. In 1969, the Konami Company is founded as a jukebox rental and repair firm in Osaka, Japan. Konami will eventually grow into a leading developer and publisher of numerous anime series, tokusatsu, trading cards, and video games. Also explains why if you put the Konami code into any jukebox, you get 17 songs for free.
1970, the first Earth Day proclamation is issued by the mayor of San Francisco, Joseph Alioto.
1980, Dallas airs its A House Divided episode, which leads to 8 months of international speculation regarding who shot Junior.
1995, Atari announces a new reduced price for the 64-bit Jaguar video game system. It's now $160, the new price for the system without the game Cybermorph, which was bundled with it and really made the whole purchase worthwhile.
1997, Square releases Final Fantasy IV for the PlayStation in Japan.
That way you can take it with you wherever you go. 1999, Bertrand Picard and Brian Jones complete the first ever nonstop balloon flight around the world aboard the experimental Britling Orbiter 3 balloon in just 20 days. Don't ask about the bathroom.
2001, the Space Shuttle Discovery returns to Earth with first residents of the ISS, Expedition 1.
2005, Cube Chip releases the Cube Chip, a mod chip for the Nintendo game Cube, which allows users to run unlicensed software such as backup utilities, BIOS replacements, emulators, and even the Linux operating system for the console.
2006, Jack Dorsey, creator, chairman, and co-founder of Twitter, sends the very first tweet at 12:50 p.m. The tweet reads, "Just setting up my Twitter."
2008, the Falcon 1, a partially reusable rocket launch system designed and manufactured by SpaceX, is first launched by privateer Elon Musk from the Kwajalein Atoll in the South Pacific. It's a two-stage rocket that uses a fuel of liquid oxygen and kerosene, and it's designed to be recovered from the ocean for reduce, reuse, recycle. Birthdays?
Rachel McFarlane, 43, Haley on American Dad, and codenamed Kids Next Door.
Greg Ellis is 51 from Pirates. The 2009 Star Trek Commander Prince in Command and Conquer.
Mark Wade, 57. He's an amazing comic book writer. You should definitely check his stuff out. I'm sure we talk about it regularly.
You own quite a bit. Rosie O'Donnell is 57 from Gimme a Break, Stakeout, Exit to Eden, the very underappreciated Harriet the Spy, and of course, the Q-Bot episode of Impractical Jokers.
She also writes poetry about squirrels. Matthew Broderick, 57, from Ferris Bueller, The Freshman, Election, Cable Guy, The Producers, lots of Broadway stuff. Won a bunch of awards.
Gary Oldman is 71 from Dracula, Lost in Space, he's Commissioner Gordon, and of course, was in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and his comedic timing is flipping amazing.
Yeah, it is. He's been in a lot of the franchises, because like the Batman, Harry Potter.
The other one.
Sabrina LeBeau, 71, the Sandra on The Cosby Show.
Brad Hall is 71, a criminally underrated Saturday Night Live guy.
Yes. Timothy Dalton's 74 years old. Unfortunately, didn't get too many good Bond movies, but that's not his fault. Hot Fuzz, Doom Patrol, which I really look forward to seeing. But of course, he was the fantastic, perfect villain, just twirling that mustache in The Rocketeer.
No longer with us, born this date in 1921, Logan Ramsey, a character actor best known for being in The Beast Within and Joe Don Baker's classic film Joysticks.
1922, Russ Meyer. He was a sexploitation master. Probably one of the most famous ones that he did was Faster, Pussycat, Kill, Kill. And I think he also had something to do with the Civilization games.
1930, James Coco from Holy Moses and, of course, Muppets Take Manhattan.
Well, CBS has the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament.
ABC, it's a new Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, and For the People.
NBC has a new Superstore, App Bio, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Will and Grace, and Elenos Vu.
On Fox, I Am Bane. On a new Gotham, Bruce Wayne is still like 14, but Bane is showing up. And then the Orville.
I am Groot.
CW has Don't Go in the Woods on the new Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour known as Supernatural and Legacies.
AMC is showing Cast Away. It's two words. It's not one word, and that's very important for the meaning of the film.
Oh, that's a good point. I haven't really thought about it. FX, Sam deals with monsters on a new Better Things.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon leases substitute with Sam Etick as a guest star. Simpsons Tall Tales and Dude, Where's My Ranch?
FXM, my God, it's Jason Bourne.
Thought you were going to say it's full of stars. IFC, Christmas in March. It's Christmas Vacation. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'll always laugh, but sure.
Yeah, right. BBC America has Premier League Darts 2019, Episode 7.
Sci-Fi Channel is showing San Andreas. Watch L.A. just fall apart again, this time without a volcano coming up from underground.
TCM has China Syndrome.
Wow, a movie that suddenly became very, very real when Three Mile Island happened. TBS also has the NCAA attorney.
TNT has the NCAA attorney.
True TV has the NCAA attorney.
Science, Extreme Railroads on a new Impossible Engineering.
USA, hey look, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, a birthday guy's in there. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because after her house is broken into, a young woman's unable to shake the feeling her life is still in danger until she meets a handsome detective who keeps a close eye on her. But she is oblivious, her enemy is closer than she ever expected. Chelsea Ricketts, Michael Welch star in Who's Stalking Me?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Rafe and Hope renew their love for one another, which should last for about 3-4 days. Sarah admits to Maggie she kissed Eric and has feelings for him, which makes this whole thing a rather awkward sleepover. Eric struggles to fight his feelings for Sarah, because he's into it all, but he's weirded out by somebody who carries around a Ouija board. Chad and Abby read about all this nonsense on the Facebook group, laughing and call their new friend Sal for a night out of town. JJ offers to marry Haley. And to prove how much he cares, he schedules a private performance by Izzy LaFontaine. Since Izzy's in town, hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
No, everybody's too busy checking out where Izzy LaFontaine is today, right now, at a place near you. And if it's a fantastic show, won't you let us know about it? Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you would like to tell us all about it, or perhaps even perform, dare I say, an Izzy LaFontaine song, drop us a note, won't you please, by voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
I still don't know what it is.
I don't think I do either.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants, they love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO network.
The Nerd Bliss Podcast.
Listen!
Listen!
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
Aw. And don't say his name in the mirror any amount of times. Let's just be safe, shall we?
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Oh, I gotta put the glow sticks down to pick up the controller. Do we have more games this week?
But we don't have a whole lot. We've got King of Texas, where Dallas Sheriffs has a new draft pick rusher, John Bega, no relation to Lou, who follows him in his comedic mischief as he helps the team win games and win the affection of his boss, coworkers, and several women that are all numbered. Available for the PC.
Unravel 2, sequel to the 2015 puzzle platforming game Unravel for the Switch. You take things apart, apparently.
Sekiro. Shadows Die Twice, which sounds a lot like a James Bond movie. It's an action game by From Software, the makers of Dark Souls, so be prepared to die a lot, more than just twice. It's available for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel, follows the newly established class VII at Thor's Military Academy through a tumultuous time in the Empire as Civil War looms on the horizon for the PS4.
Mulb the Show 19, Sony's baseball sim, returns for the 2018 Mulb season. It's available for the PS4.
Outworld, an open-world RPG with co-op and survival elements that puts players in the shoes of an everyday adventurer venturing forth into an unforgiving world. You know, like reality, for PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
I'm so glad that they really distinguished that from all other RPGs. Generation Zero, set in 1980s Sweden, invaded by machines. Fight back alone or with friends. It's available for the PC, PS4, Xbox One.
So it's like Maximum Overdrive, but Swedish? Okay. The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 4. Take us back! The fourth and final season of Telltale's adaptation of The Walking Dead wraps up the story of series protagonist Clementine, I'm guessing with one more episode after this, for the Switch, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Gosh, those games are good.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Now, we already told you a Buffy reboot is in the works.
And has been for years.
True. And today's crazy rumor involves the upcoming 20th anniversary of Angel.
And thus the seed for Twilight was planted to be unleashed on an undeserving world.
So here is your no-info-at-all crazy rumor. David Boreanaz, star of The Crow, Wicked Prayer, said, "We're coming up on our 20 years. That's amazing to have been blessed with a show like that. That's really where I started my gig in this acting world. I love that character. So I will say there may be something coming up. I don't want to give it away a lot. It's 20 years coming up this fall, and we may have something in the works."
Damn it, Boreanaz. You've been toying with my heart for decades.
Angel, the series, debuted in 1999 on what was then the WB, relocating Angel to L.A., huh, City of Angels, along with Buffy characters Cordelia Chase and Wesley Wyndham Price. The series catered to the now older Buffy audience with darker storylines and more adult themes.
And just like Buffy, it didn't get good until Spike showed up.
Lorne would disagree. A major driving plotline was Angel's quest for redemption and the nature of his restored soul, but the series often grappled with concepts of identity and inherently evil nature of its characters. Angel and his allies were always about to go too far, and many stories centered around finding their way back after they did, or almost did. The series rebounded from low ratings with an acclaimed fifth season in 2004, but was ultimately canceled because, well, ratings and Smallville was such a big, huge hit. They're like, wait a minute, we need to change our entire identity as a network. The series finale's cliffhanger was resolved in a series of comics from IDW Publishing and Dark Horse, but those storylines ended with the Buffy rights were picked up by Boom Studios in 2018. Personally, I'm hoping this is going to be like a crossover thing, an all-puppet Angel's Lament.
Die. 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 I can't.
Speaking of the undead, MoviePass
has announced it plans to resurrect its $9.95 per month subscription plan that allows one movie every day.
They got some new money to lose.
Well, it was that plan in its new form dubbed the Uncapped Plan that kicked off the dramatic saga surrounding the movie ticketing subscription service last year. Ted Farnsworth, CEO of MoviePass parent Helios and Matheson, in relation to Tim, says in a statement, "We are and have been your friend, listening to our subscribers every day."
All four of them.
And we understand that an uncapped subscription plan at the $9.95 price point is the most appealing option to our subscribers. While we've had to modify our service a number of times in order to continue delivering a movie-going experience to our subscribers, with this new offering, we are doing everything we can to bring people a version of the service that originally won their hearts.
Oh, okay, the classic, if it ain't broke, break it. Break it again, break it a fourth time, then just go back to the original.
See, they're bad at math. It's not exactly the original. So what's the catch? Well, there are several. The uncapped plan is a limited time offer. It's only available to those paying for a year's subscription in advance, which is $119.40, and only covers 2D movies available in the app. In addition, they say, your movie choices may be restricted due to the excessive individual usage, which negatively impacts system-wide capability, which effectively means that they can block you out at any time.
So it's a mix of the worst of the old and a worst of the new of their plans.
Yeah, the company does promise a large selection of blockbusters and independent films, along with ticket reservations up to 3 hours before the session begins.
Leftovers from blockbuster stores.
Oddly enough, this announcement comes as Alamo Drafthouse Cinema launches its own movie ticket subscription package. The $20 per month Alamo Season Pass will launch nationwide by the end of the year and offers unlimited access to movies, as well as the ability to reserve seats in advance. So come back in 3 weeks when we tell you the movie pass is bankrupt again.
Hey gamers, get ready. Google officially announced their new video game platform, Stadia, which offers instant access to your favorite games on any type of screen, TV, laptop, desktop, tablet, or mobile phone.
Ooh, or you could just tote your Switch around.
That's what I do. The cloud gaming platform doesn't require a traditional box or console, though a dedicated controller is available and will have games available in 4K, 60 frames per second, with players able to access their games at all times on virtually any screen.
You know what? Just call me when I can play on my 14.5-bit Etch-a-Sketch.
The platform will utilize Google's massive cloud server infrastructure with powerful hardware stacks combining server-class GPU, CPU, memory, and storage. Developers will reportedly have access to nearly unlimited resources to create the games they've always dreamed of.
Really? Then get ready, world, for Night Trap 2, the Nighty Inning.
The Stadia controller has a direct connection to Google's data centers through Wi-Fi. The controller also includes a button for instant capture, saving, and sharing gameplay up to 4K. It comes equipped with Google Assistant button and a built-in microphone. It'll launch later this year in the US, UK, Europe, and Canada. Meanwhile, Soulja Boy has announced he is still going to crank that console of his, and it'll be super fresh.
You know, that's nice. I'm happy for them. But, you know, real gaming involves dice. So get ready for a new board game based on the greatest Christmas movie ever made.
Ernest Saves Christmas?
Okay, the second best Christmas movie.
A Wish for Wings That Work?
Good point. The third best movie that takes place during Christmas after Ernest and Opus. Crap, and Gremlins. Okay, so amongst the top five Christmas movies is the new game, Die Hard. Now, if you're a fan of the 1988 classic slash Christmas movie, you'll be happy to hear that USAopoly has just announced they'll be releasing a Die Hard board game soon. The game will utilize a one-versus-many asymmetric gameplay to pit protagonist John McClane against others acting as thieves, cooperating to stop him from saving the hostages in the iconic Nakatomi Plaza high-rise.
One player's going to have to hit on everybody's wife who's there while trying to talk the hero into quitting as he does lines of coke.
I don't know if it comes with that, but hey. Die Hard, the Nakatomi heist board game, will be available spring 2019 in select retailers, encouraging friends to come out to the table, get together, have a few laughs. It'd be a real shame if they don't get Andy Samberg to do the commercials. Anyway, right? Debates over whether the title will be considered a Christmas game or an action game is going to be all over the internet.
Why not both?
Look, no price point has been announced as of yet, so don't get too excited. But soon you will be able to don a suit, roll a die, take out the bad guys as you scream, Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
A recently published scientific study suggests that the infamous serial killer known as Jack the Ripper might have been finally identified through DNA testing.
It was the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, not according to Maury Povich. According to an article, though, recently released by the Journal of Forensic Science, semen found on a silk shawl obtained from the scene of one of the crimes was tested for DNA, and the results point to a Polish barber named Aaron Kosminski.
I smell a Sweeney Todd sequel.
Kosminski was a suspect at the time of the crimes, but there was not enough evidence to support an arrest for the five women who were murdered in London within 3 months.
I smell a From Hell sequel.
The conclusion was reached by comparing the mitochondrial DNA gathered from the scarf to that of Kaminsky's living descendants.
I smell a Sleepy Hollow sequel.
However, as with most scientific studies, the finding doesn't come without its critics. In an interview with Forbes magazine, a group of archaeological geneticists, because that exists, called the report unpublishable nonsense.
Oh, I smell a Dark Shadow sequel.
They call into question the chain of custody of the shawl prior to the testing, a lack of data, and what they refer to as the questionable reliability of the mitochondrial DNA. And what exactly role Mark Furman had to play in the whole damn thing. GRD!
Haha, political, that's right. And topical, and current.
Right there on the pulse. The finger on the pulse. Yeah, yeah, baby. Creative Commons Now, the commercial non-derived United States 3.0. Like, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and not, you know, geekradiodata.com. And I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but it's that. And I still want to say, it's still Sir Edward Gull. I don't care what you find. It was Sir Edward Gull. That's always in my Superman. Mind. Well, I mean, Michael Caine did the miniseries, and he said it was Sir Edward Gull, and Michael Caine has never lied to us. Ever.
Oh, it wasn't Superman. It was the bad guy from Star Trek Generations.
Oh, yeah. That's fair point. Fair point. Drop us a note, please. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send us a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And we'll babble about something tomorrow. That sounds like us.
Well, that went well.
That was lame.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Extraterrestrials. Strange phenomena. Missing persons. Lost continents. Myths. And monsters.
We examine these mysteries to determine, are they bullshit or not?
London's West End. Here. In the winter of 1888, a series of bizarre and violent murders occurred, which remain unsolved to this very day. Jack the Ripper. Was he a prosperous London surgeon? Perhaps a member of British royalty? Well, our bullshit team has unearthed spectacular new evidence, which suggests that Jack the Ripper was, in fact, the Loch Ness Monster.